Welcome to tonight's Zoomcast on destruction and deliverance of the Nephites before the second coming of Jesus Christ, a parallel to Latter-day Saints. And we will start with a recap from our last Zoomcast, which was 3 weeks ago. 3 Nephi, chapter 3. Verses 1, 4, 6 through 9, and 10, and 13 through 16, 19. And it came to pass that in the 16th year from the coming of Christ, Lecanius, the governor of the land, received an epistle from the leader and the governor of the band of robbers. And these were the words which were written, saying, "And I know of their unconquerable spirit, having proved them in the field of battle, and knowing of their everlasting hatred toward you because of the many wrongs which ye have done unto them. Therefore, if they should come down against you, they should visit you with utter destruction. Therefore, I have written this epistle, sealing it with mine own hand, feeling for your welfare because of your firmness in that which ye believe to be right, and your noble spirit in the field of battle. Therefore, I write unto you, desiring that ye would yield up unto this people, this my people, your cities and your lands and your possessions, rather than that they should visit you with a sword and that destruction should come upon you. Or in other words, yield up yourselves unto us and unite with us and become acquainted with our secret works and become like unto our brethren, that ye may be like unto us, not our slaves, but our brethren and partners of all our substance. And behold, I swear unto you, if ye will do this with an oath, ye shall not be destroyed. But if ye will not do this, I swear unto you with an oath that on the morrow month I will command that my army shall come down against you, and they shall not stay their hand, and shall not spare, but shall slay you, and shall let fall the sword upon you, even until ye shall become extinct. And behold, I am Gideonhi, and I am the governor of the secret society of Gadianton, which society and the works thereof I know to be good, and they are of ancient date, and they have been handed down unto us. And I write this epistle unto you, Lecanius, and I hope that ye will deliver up your lands and your possessions without the shedding of blood, that this my people may recover their rights and government who have dissented away from you because of your wickedness in retaining from them their rights of government. Except you do this, I will avenge their wrongs. I am Gideonhi." Yea, he sent a proclamation among all the people that they should gather together their women, their children, their flocks, and their herds, and all their substance, save it were their land, unto one place. And he caused that fortification should be built round about them, and the strength thereof should be exceedingly great. And he caused that armies, both of the Nephites and of the Lamanites, or of all of them who were numbered among the Nephites, should be placed as guards round about to watch them and to guard them from the robbers day and night. Yea, he said unto them, "As the Lord liveth, except ye repent of all your iniquities and cry unto the Lord, ye will in no wise be delivered out of the hands of those Gadianton robbers." And so great and marvelous were the words and prophecies of Lecanius, that they did cause fear to come upon all the people, and they did exert themselves in their might to do according to the words of Lecanius. And now it was a custom among all the Nephites to appoint for their chief captains, save it were in their times of wickedness, someone that had the spirit of revelation and also prophecy. Therefore, this Gideonhi was a great prophet, or this Gidgadoni was a great prophet among them, and as also was the chief judge. Now in 3 Nephi 5, verses 2 through 6. And they knew that it must be expedient that Christ had come, because of the many signs that had been given according to the words of the prophets. And because of the things which had come to pass already, they knew that it must needs be that all things should come to pass according to that which had been spoken. Therefore they did forsake all their sins and their abominations and their whoredoms, and did serve God with all diligence day and night. And now it came to pass that when they had taken all the robbers prisoners, insomuch that none did escape who were not slain, they did cast their prisoners into prison, and it caused the word of God to be preached unto them. And as many as would repent of their sins and enter into a covenant that they would murder no more were set at liberty. But as many as there were who did not enter into a covenant, and who did still continue to have those secret murders in their hearts, as many as were found breathing out threatenings against their brethren, were condemned and punished according to the law. And thus they did put an end to all those wicked and secret and abominable combinations, in the which there was so much wickedness and so many murders committed. And now, starting in 3 Nephi chapter 6, verse 1. And now it came to pass that the people of the Nephites did all return to their own lands in the 26th year, every man with his family, his flocks and his herds, his horses and his cattle, and all things whatsoever did belong unto them. And it came to pass that they had not eaten up all their provisions. Therefore they did take with them that they had not all that they had not devoured, of all their grain of every kind, and their gold and their silver, and all their precious things, and they did return to their own lands and their possessions, both on the north and on the south, both on the land northward and on the land southward. And they granted unto those robbers who had entered into a covenant to keep the peace of the land, who were desirous to remain Lamanites, lands according to their numbers, that they might have with their labors wherewith to subsist upon. And thus they did establish peace in all the land. And they began to prosper again, to wax great. And the 26th and 7th years passed away, and there was great order in the land, and they had formed their laws according to equity and justice. And now there was nothing in all the land to hinder the people from prospering continually, except they should fall into transgression. And now it was Gidgadoni, the judge, and Lachonius, and those who had been appointed leaders who had established this great peace in the land. And it came to pass that there were many cities built anew, and there were many old cities repaired, and there were many highways cast up, and many roads made, which led from city to city, and from land to land, and from place to place. And thus passed away the 28th year, and the people had continual peace. But it came to pass that in the 29th year, there began to be some disputations or disputings among the people. And some were lifted up unto pride and boastings because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even great persecutions. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers and many officers. And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches and their chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceedingly humble. Some did return railing for railing, while others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions, and would not turn to revile again, but were humble and penitent before God. And thus there became a great inequality in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up, yea, insomuch that the 13th year of the church was broken up in all the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites who were converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it, for they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. And the cause of this iniquity of the people was this: Satan had great power unto the stirring up of the people to do all manner of iniquity, and to the puffing them up with pride, tempting them to seek for power and authority and riches and the vain things of the world. And thus Satan did lead away the hearts of the people to do all manner of iniquity. Therefore they had enjoyed peace but a few years, And thus, in the commencement of the 13th year, the people, having been delivered up from the space, up for the space of a long time, to be carried about by the temptations of the devil, whithersoever he desired to carry them, and to do whatsoever iniquity he desired they should. And thus, in the commencement of this, the 30th year, they were in a state of awful wickedness. And they did not sin ignorantly, for they knew the will of God concerning them. For it had been taught unto them, therefore they did willfully rebel against God. And now, it was in the days of Lycaonius, the son of Lycaonius, for Lycaonius did fill the seat of his father and did govern the people that year. And there began to be men inspired from heaven and sent forth, standing among the people in all the land, preaching and testifying boldly of the sins and iniquities of the people, and testifying unto them concerning the redemption which the Lord would make for his people, or in other words, the resurrection of Christ. And they did testify boldly of his death and sufferings. And there were many of the people who were exceedingly angry because of those who testified of these things. And those who were angry were chiefly the chief judges, and they who had been high priests and lawyers. And all those who were lawyers were angry with those who testified of these things. And now there was no lawyer, nor judge, nor high priest that could have power to condemn anyone to death, save their condemnation was signed by the governor of the land. Now there were many of those who testified of the things pertaining to Christ, who testified boldly and were taken and put to death secretly by the judges, that the knowledge of their death came not unto the governor of the land until after their death. Now behold, this was contrary to the laws of the land, that any man should be put to death except they had power from the governor of the land. Therefore a complaint came unto the land of Zarahemla, to the governor of the land, against these judges who had condemned the prophets of the Lord unto death, not according to the law. And now it came to pass that they were taken and brought up before the judge to be judged of the crime which they had done, according to the law which they had been given by the people. Now it came to pass that those judges had many friends and kindreds, and the remainder, yea, even almost all the lawyers and the high priests, did gather themselves together and unite with the kindreds of those judges who were to be tried according to the law. And they did enter into a covenant one with another, yea, even into that covenant which was given by them of old, which covenant was given and administered by the devil to combine against all righteousness. Therefore they did combine against the people of the Lord and enter into a covenant to destroy them and to deliver those who were guilty of murder from the grasp of justice, which was about to be administered according to the law. And they did set at defiance the law and the rights of the country, and they did covenant one with another to destroy the governor and establish a king over the land, that the land should no more be at liberty, but should be subject unto kings. Chapter 7. Now behold, I will show unto you that they did not establish a king over the land, but in this same year, yea, in the 13th year, in the 30th year, they did destroy upon the judgment seat, yea, did murder the chief judge of the land. And the people were divided one against another, and they did separate one from another into tribes, every man according to his family and his kindred and friends. And thus they did destroy the government of the land. And every tribe did appoint a chief or a leader over them. And thus they became tribes and leaders of tribes. And now behold, there was no man among them save he had much family and many kindreds and friends. Therefore their tribes became exceedingly great. Now all this was done, and there were no wars as yet among them. And all this iniquity had come upon the people because they did yield themselves unto the power of Satan. And the regulations of the government were destroyed because of the secret combinations of the friends and kindreds of those who murdered the prophets. And they did cause a great contention in the land, insomuch that the more righteous part of the people had nearly all become wicked. Yea, there were but few righteous men among them. And thus 6 years had not passed away since the more part of the people had turned from their righteousness, like the dog to his vomit, or like the sow to her wallowing in the mire. Now this secret combination, which had brought forth so great iniquity upon the people, did gather themselves together and did place as their head a man whom they did call Jacob. And they did call him their king. Therefore he became a king over the wicked band. And he was one of the chiefest who had given his voice against the prophets who testified of Jesus. And it came to pass that they were not so strong in number as the tribes of the people, who were united together, save it were their leaders did establish their laws, every one according to his tribe. Nevertheless, they were enemies, notwithstanding they were not a righteous people, yet they were united in the hatred of those who had entered into a covenant to destroy the government. Therefore, Jacob, seeing that their enemies were more numerous than they, and being the king of the band, therefore he commanded his people that they should take their flight into the northernmost parts of the land, and there build up unto themselves a kingdom, until they were joined by dissenters. For he flattered them that there would be many dissenters, and they became sufficiently strong to contend with the tribes of the people, and they did so. And so speedy was their march that it could not be impeded until they had gone forth out of the reach of the people. And thus ended the 13th year, and thus were the affairs of the people of Nephi. And thus ended the 30th year, and thus the affairs of the people of Nephi. And it came to pass that in the 31st year, they were divided into tribes, every man according to his family, kindred, and friends. Nevertheless, they had come to an agreement that they would not go to war one with another, but they were not united as to their laws and their manner of government. For they were established according to the minds of those who were their chiefs and their leaders. But they did establish very strict laws that one tribe should not trespass against another, insomuch that in some degree they had peace in the land. Nevertheless, their hearts were turned from the Lord their God. And they did stone the prophets and did cast them out from among them. And it came to pass that Nephi, having been visited by angels and also the voice of the Lord, therefore having seen angels and being eyewitness, and having had power given unto him that he might know concerning the ministry of Christ, and also being eyewitness to their quick return from righteousness unto their wickedness and abominations. Now, a few comments. This Nephi being spoken of is the son of Nephi, who is the brother of Lehi, who were both at the prison in Helaman chapter 5, when the 300 received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and as a result went forth and converted practically the entire Lamanite nation. And this is the son of that Nephi, who in Helaman chapter 10 was sealed to the patriarchal order of the Melchizedek priesthood, and thus had power to bind and loose on earth and in heaven, and to even command the very elements. But by this time, actually with the departure of this Nephi's father, Nephi, the Lamanite, the Nephites, just like the children of Israel had been demoted from the fullness of the gospel, the church of Christ, to the preparatory gospel, just as the Latter-day Saints would be, as they were given warning in DNC 84 and received this demotion in 1834 when Christ took his name out of the church. And the official name of the church went from the Church of Christ to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And as we read in DNC 84, when a people are demoted from the fullness of the gospel to the preparatory gospel, the fullness of the priesthood is taken from them. And they are left with the Aaronic priesthood. So DNC 84, verses 23 through part of 27. Now this Moses plainly taught to the children of Israel in the wilderness, and sought diligently to sanctify that his people, that they might behold the face of God. So this is what the fullness of the gospel does, the terrestrial order, the church of Christ. It seeks to diligently to sanctify the people that they might behold the face of God. Well, how did Moses seek diligently to sanctify the people? How did Joseph Smith seek diligently to sanctify the people? How did the Book of Mormon prophets seek diligently to sanctify the people when they had the fullness of the gospel? Well, it was through the new covenant of a broken heart and contrite spirit that they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that they might be adopted as Christ's sons and his daughters and be entitled to receive that level of revelation in the heavens, whereby they might be instructed about how to enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory in this life. And we find out in verse 24 that that's exactly what beholding the face of God means in this context, entering into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, which is more than seeing Christ in vision, which is more even than having Christ come and visit them on this earth. This would be to have an ascension experience like Moses had in Moses chapter 1, like Nephi had in 1 Nephi chapter 11, where they were taken to the high mountain, not an earthly mountain, but the heavenly mountain that Enoch and Isaiah call the seventh heaven, that place in the heavens where Christ reigns in the fullness of his glory. That is the ultimate aim of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the gospel, to bring God's people back into the presence of Christ that they might be taught directly by him. Verse 24, but they hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore, the Lord in his wrath, for his anger was kindled against them, swore that they should not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore, he took Moses out of their midst and the holy priesthood also. Or the Melchizedek priesthood, the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, which officiates in the Church of Christ and performs the ordinances of baptism of water and baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost into the terrestrial order, being distinguished from that baptism of water into the preparatory gospel, which is performed by the Aaronic priesthood. Verse 26, and the lesser priesthood continued, which priesthood holdeth the key of the ministering of angels and the preparatory gospel, which gospel is the gospel of repentance and of baptism and the remission of sins. Now, going back to 3 Nephi chapter 7. Verse 16. Therefore, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, went forth among them in that same year and began to testify boldly repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that the Nephites similarly had been demoted to the preparatory gospel because there was not a man among them who had been ordained and sealed to the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood. And thus they had been demoted to the preparatory gospel and only had the Aaronic priesthood. And this includes Nephi. Now, it's also important to note that there are two parts to every priesthood. There's both ordination, where a man receives authority, and then there's also sealing, which can only take place after a man has passed the tests that are associated with that order of the priesthood. And then Christ seals that priesthood upon a man when he proves himself true and faithful. And it's cross-reference, DNC 7652, that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power. And of course, we have the scriptural example of this ordaining and sealing in 3 Nephi chapter 11. Where Christ comes to restore again the terrestrial order of the gospel and the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, to Nephi and the 12 disciples. And once this restoration is complete, at least of authority, Christ gives Nephi and the 12 the command to go forth and to baptize this people when he is again ascended into heaven. And as we're going to find out, this people had already been baptized into the preparatory gospel by Nephi and those who, you know, he had ordained to go forth and cry repentance and to baptize with water into the preparatory gospel. But they needed to receive the saving order of baptism by water, by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. And then in 3 Nephi 18, Christ touches Nephi and the 12 disciples. And as he touches them, he seals the sword of the priesthood upon them and then gives the commandment to go forth and, in addition to the baptism of water, perform the other part of baptism into the fullness of the gospel, which is the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they had now been sealed unto this power or order of the priesthood. And so everything we're about to read about this Nephi, he did having been ordained and sealed to the Aaronic priesthood. And it's also important to note that all these things he did before receiving the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost himself, which he doesn't receive until 3 Nephi chapter 19, verse 17, in 3 Nephi 7. And he did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and a part of them would not suffice. Therefore, they are not written in this book. And Nephi did minister with power and with great authority. And it came to pass that they were angry with him, even because he had greater power than they. For it were not possible that they could disbelieve his words. For so great was his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, that angels did minister unto him daily. And in the name of Jesus did he cast out devils and unclean spirits. And even his brother he did raise from the dead, after he had been stoned and suffered death by the people. And the people saw it and did witness of it, and were angry with him because of his power. And he did also do many more miracles in the sight of the people in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that the 31st year did pass away, and there were but few who were converted unto the Lord. But as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and spirit of God, which was in Jesus Christ, in whom they believed. So another important distinction to make is that one can experience, even to a great measure, the power of the Holy Ghost before they receive the ordinance of baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we need to understand what we're talking about. And we're actually talking about an entire system. Now, while there is a man who officiates in the office of Holy Ghost, he is one part of this system. So the glory of celestial radiates from the bodies of father and mother and permeates all parts of the universe which are celestial. Now, there's a veil that separates parts of the universe,
cancer won't,
celestial from those which are terrestrial. Otherwise, all parts of the universe which were not celestial would be destroyed. And it's Christ who officiates over these veils, literally steps down the glory of the celestial to the glory which is terrestrial. And Christ literally acts as a transformer in that stepping down of glory. And this glory permeates all parts of the universe which are terrestrial. Now, there's a veil that separates the terrestrial from the telestial. And there are a set of veils that separate these two areas. Otherwise, everything which was not terrestrial which was celestial, would be destroyed. And the man who officiates over this set of veils is the one who officiates in the office of Holy Ghost. And that portion of glory which comes down through this set of veils is what we call the light of Christ. And it's a physical substance, and it contains all knowledge and all glory which is in the telestial realm, or which can be experienced in the telestial realm. And that substance is what comes into us. The Holy Ghost, the man, is a personage of spirit. Therefore, he does not dwell within a man or a woman, but what he does do is he administers the very portion of the light of Christ which we qualify to receive. Now, our bodies are both receivers and transmitters of light and glory, and that light and glory is the light of Christ. And every man, every woman that is born into the earth has sufficient access to the light of Christ, which permeates every part of the telestial universe except for outer darkness. Sufficient to know good from evil when they're born into the world. And depending on a man or woman's heed and diligence to that portion of the light of Christ, which they have access to, their access either increases or decreases. And so, you know, at the time of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, one's capacity to receive the light of Christ takes an exponential increase. And after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, one has access to that revelation in the heavens to be instructed about how to enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory. So, that which one experiences before the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and afterward is not a difference of kind, but degree. And so one may have great spiritual experiences as Nephi is having, and as the people were having even before the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this is not well understood, but it's important. And so many people who have not yet received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, believe that they have because of the spiritual experiences which they have had, not realizing that it's possible to receive great spiritual experiences before receiving this ordinance. For Nephi spoke with great power and authority, so great that it wasn't possible for his enemies to disbelieve his words. He cast out devils. He raised his brother from the dead. He performed mighty miracles. And the people experienced the Spirit of God, or the light of Christ. So again, in verse 21, and it came to pass that the 31st year did pass away, and there were but few who were converted unto the Lord. But as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and Spirit of God. And I also liken it unto the 12 apostles who were with Christ during his mortal ministry. They had the Spirit of God with them, and they were able to go forth in power and authority. But there was a marked difference between that and what they received, the endowment they received on the day of Pentecost, when they received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And after that day, they were able to go forth and minister in much greater power and authority, having received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I would, you know, liken what it's possible to experience as, you know, a Latter-day Saint by, you know, faithful membership in the preparatory gospel and paying heed and diligence to the voice of the Spirit, to what the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ and to what the people of Nephi experienced before their baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which they had the opportunity to receive great spiritual outpourings. And even if they exercise sufficient faith to receive and perform mighty miracles, but everything changes at the time of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Continuing in verse 22. And as many as had devils cast out of them and were healed of their sickness. Now, notice the association that Mormon records here of being healed from sickness and having devils cast out from them. And also, as we look at the New Testament, you know, at least 50% of the accounts we have of Christ healing, he simply cast out the demons and devils, and the people were healed. And if we're not doing the same thing today, there's probably a problem. And as many as had devils cast out of them and were healed of their sickness and their infirmities did truly testify unto the people that they had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God. So again, those who received the preparatory gospel were wrought upon by the Spirit of God, or had access to a great portion of the light of Christ. Not as great a portion as they would have after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, but yet a great portion. They had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God and had been healed. And they did show forth signs also and did do some miracles among the people. And thus passed away the 32nd year also. And Nephi did cry unto the people in the commencement of the 33rd year. And he did preach unto them repentance and remission of sins, which is the preparatory gospel. And of course, is a component also of the fullness of the gospel, or the Church of Christ, which they did not yet have. In verse 24, now I'd have you to remember also that there were none who were brought unto repentance who were not baptized with water. So repenting, part of the requirement for repentance was baptism by water into the preparatory gospel. And the repentance was not complete until they had received this baptism of water by the authority of the Aaronic priesthood. Therefore, there were ordained of Nephi men unto this ministry, that all such as should come unto them should be baptized with water. And this is a witness and a testimony before God and unto the people, that they had repented and received a remission of their sins. So not only did Nephi have the authority to go forth and to testify and prophesy in the name of Christ and perform the ordinance of baptism by water into the preparatory gospel, but he also had the power and authority to give this power and authority unto other men. And so he ordained other men to the Aaronic priesthood. And to the extent that they paid deed and diligence unto the voice of the Spirit and passing all of the tests that were associated with this order of the priesthood, they also would have been sealed unto this Aaronic priesthood as Nephi had been. And verse 26, and there were many in the commencement of this year that were baptized unto repentance. And thus the more part of the year did pass away. Through Nephi chapter 8. And now it came to pass that according to our record, and we know that our record to be true, for behold, it was a just man who did keep the record. For he truly did many miracles in the name of Jesus. And there was not any man who could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from his iniquity. And now it came to pass, if there was no mistake made by this man in the reckoning of our time, the 33rd year had passed away. And the people began to look with great earnestness for the sign which had been given by the prophet Samuel. The Lamanite, for the time that there should be darkness for the space of 3 days over the face of the land. And there began to be great doubtings and disputations among the people, notwithstanding so many signs had been given. And it came to pass that in the 34th year, in the first month, on the fourth day of the month, there arose a great storm, such an one as never had been known in all the land. And there was also a great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, insomuch that it did shake the whole earth, as if it was about to divide asunder. And there were exceedingly sharp lightnings, such as never had been known in all the land. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire, and the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And the earth was carried up upon the city of Moroniha, that in the place of the city there became a great mountain. And there was a great and terrible destruction in the land southward. But behold, there was a more great and terrible destruction in the land northward. For behold, the whole face of the land was changed because of the tempest and the whirlwinds and the thunderings and the lightnings and the exceedingly great quaking of the whole earth. And the highways were broken up, and the level roads were spoiled, and many smooth places became rough, and many great and notable cities were sunk, and many were burned, and many were shaken till the buildings thereof had fallen to the earth. And the inhabitants thereof were slain, and the places were left desolate. And there were some cities which remained, but the damage thereof was exceedingly great. And there were many of them who were slain, and there were some who were carried away in the whirlwinds, and whither they went no man knoweth, save they know that they were carried away. And thus the face of the whole earth became deformed, because of the tempests and thunderings and the lightnings and the quaking of the earth. And behold, the rocks were rent in twain. They were broken up upon the face of the whole earth, insomuch that they were found in broken fragments and in seams and in cracks upon all the face of the land. And it came to pass that when the thunderings and lightnings and the storm and the tempest and the quakings of the earth did cease, for behold, they did last for about the space of 3 hours. And it was said by some that the time was greater. Nevertheless, all these great and terrible things were done in about the space of 3 hours. And then behold, there was darkness upon the face of the land. And it came to pass that there was thick darkness upon all the face of the land, insomuch that the inhabitants thereof who had not fallen could feel the vapor of darkness. And there could be no light because of the darkness, neither candles, neither torches, neither could there be a fire kindled with the fine and exceedingly dry wood, so that there could not be any light at all. And there was not any light seen, neither fire nor glimmer, neither the sun nor the moon nor the stars, for so great were the mists of darkness which were upon the face of the land. And it came to pass that it did last for the space of 3 days, that there was no light seen, and there was a great mourning and howling and weeping among all the people continually. Yea, great were the groanings of the people because of the darkness and the great destructions which had come upon them. And in one place they were heard to say, saying, "Oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day, and then would our brethren have been spared, and they would not have been burned in that great city, Zarahemla." And in another place, they were heard to cry and mourn, saying, "Oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day, and had not killed and stoned the prophets and cast them out. Then would our mothers and our fair daughters and our children have been spared and not have been buried up in that great city, Moroniha." And thus were the howlings of the people great and terrible. And it's important to note that the destruction that the Nephites experienced before the coming of Christ to them after his resurrection is a type of the destruction which awaits this earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as we read in Isaiah, the king of Babylon, king of Assyria, metaphor for that entity in the last days that will amass to itself all economic, political, and military power and become the staff in the Lord's left hand to destroy the wicked. The destruction that we will witness before the second coming of Jesus Christ will even rival what the Nephites experienced before they were visited by Jesus Christ. And just as important as it was for the Nephites to repent and return, that they might be spared from this great destruction, so it is for the Latter-day Saints and all the members of the branches of the restoration of the gospel. For there is a higher requirement that we have placed upon us because of the greater light and knowledge that we have been given, that we must accomplish if we are to be spared the destructions which are coming. And even the whole world has need to repent and come unto Christ, you know, also to survive the coming destructions. But the requirement is higher upon the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and all of the restoration branches and all those who use the Book of Mormon, which includes a few Protestant ministries, because of the greater light and knowledge which is imparted to them. Chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass that there was a voice heard among all the inhabitants of the earth, upon all the face of the land, crying, Woe, woe, woe be unto this people. Woe unto the inhabitants of the whole earth, except they shall repent. For the devil laugheth, and his angels rejoice because of the slain of the fair sons and daughters of my people. And it is because of their iniquity and abominations that they are fallen. Behold, that great city Zarahemla have I burned with fire, and the inhabitants thereof. And behold, the great city Moroni have I caused to be sunk in the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof to be drowned. And behold, that great city Moroni have I covered with the earth, and the inhabitants thereof to hide their iniquities and their abominations from before my face, that the blood of the prophets and the saints shall not come up any more unto me against them. And behold, this great city of Gilgal have I caused to be sunk, and the inhabitants thereof to be burned up in the depths of the earth. Yea, and the city of Onihah, and the inhabitants thereof, and the city of Mokum, and the inhabitants thereof, and the city of Jerusalem, and the inhabitants thereof. And the waters have I caused to come up in the stead thereof, to hide their wickedness and abominations from before my face, that the blood of the prophets and the saints shall not come up any more unto me against them. And behold, the city of Gideondai, and the city of Gadiamna, and the city of Jacob, and the city of Gimno. And these have I caused to be sunk and made hills and valleys in the places thereof. And the inhabitants thereof have I buried in the depths of the earth to hide their wickedness and abominations from before my face, that the blood of the prophets and the saints should not come up any more unto me against them. And behold, that great city Jacobugath, which was inhabited by the people of the king Jacob, have I caused to be burned with fire because of their sins and their wickedness, which was above all the wickedness of the whole earth, because of their secret murders and combinations. For it was they that did destroy the peace of my people and the government of the land. Therefore I did cause them to be burned, to destroy them before my face, that the blood of the prophets and the saints should not come up unto me anymore against them. And just as this secret combination, the band of Gadiantans, was alive and well among the people of Nephi and the Lamanites until they were completely destroyed by the destructions of the Lord, so they are among us in our day. Not only in political and financial realms, but also religious. And unto that I would cross-reference Ether, chapter 8. where Moroni is giving a warning to the Latter-day Saints about the great secret combinations that would be among them. And he spends the first part of the chapter talking about the secret combinations and political power. And then he makes a transition in verses 23 and 24 to the secret combinations, which would be of a religious nature, that would pertain to the Latter-day Saints. Verse 23, "Wherefore, O ye members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Gentiles, it is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins, and suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you, which are built up to get power and gain, and the work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you, yea, even the sword of the justice of the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction." Again, we're talking to the Latter-day Saints, to the overthrow and destruction of the Latter-day Saints. Just like the Nephites before them. "If ye shall suffer these things to be, wherefore the Lord commandeth you when you shall see these things come among you." So in verse 23, Moroni says, "O Latter-day Saints, do not let this happen to you." And in verse 24, he says, "But when it does, when ye shall see these things come upon you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation because of the secret combination which shall be among you, or woe be unto it because of the blood of them who have been slain, for they cry from the dust for vengeance upon it, and also upon those who built it up." Now back to 3 Nephi chapter 9. Verse 10. "And behold, the city of Laman, and the city of Josh, and the city of Gad, and the city of Kishkumen have I caused to be burned with fire, and the inhabitants thereof, because of their wickedness in casting out the prophets, and the stoning those whom I did send to declare unto them concerning their wickedness and their abominations. And because they did cast them all out, that there were none righteous among them, I did send down fire and destroy them, that their wickedness and abominations might be hid from before my face, that the blood of the prophets and the saints whom I sent among them might not cry unto me from the ground against them. And many great destructions have I caused to come upon this land and upon the people because of their wickedness and their abominations. O all ye that were spared because you were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted that I might heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended toward you. And whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are those who come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and mine own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God." Now, Christ is about to tell us exactly how we are to become sons and daughters of Christ, which is what is meant here by becoming sons of God. And most often, a people come unto God on their terms. But what Christ would have us do is to come unto him on his terms. And the Nephites who were spared and the Lamanites who were spared had come unto, you know, Christ on largely their terms. And so Christ is about to set forth the doctrine of Christ, how he would have his people repent and return, which doesn't just mean stop committing great sin. It means hearkening unto the voice of the Spirit, offering up the new sacrifice, entering into the new and everlasting covenant, which is something different than what we have been taught by our tradition. Verse 18, I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. This is the new and everlasting covenant. And a covenant with God is comprised of two parts. An oath which man makes to God, and an oath which God then makes back to man, which he cannot break. And this new and everlasting covenant requires that the fullness of the gospel be upon the earth. It requires that a man be ordained and sealed to the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, the priesthood, as is outlined in DNC 84. And when there is not a man of flesh and blood who has been ordained and sealed to this order of the priesthood, it is not possible to receive the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost because the heavens are closed. And I will cross-reference to DNC 84. And in verse 19, it says, and this greater priesthood administereth the gospel. Now, what is this greater priesthood? This is the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, or the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood, here being distinguished from the lower order of Aaronic priesthood. This greater priesthood administereth the gospel. Well, what gospel does this order of the priesthood administer? Well, that which is called the fullness of the gospel, or the Church of Christ, which is the terrestrial order of the gospel. And holdeth the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. Well, this order of the priesthood administereth the fullness of the gospel by, one, being the authority to officiate in the terrestrial Church of Christ. Number two, the authority to baptize with water into the terrestrial order, and three, the power to perform the ordinance of baptism of fire and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's how this greater priesthood administereth the gospel. Now, how does it hold the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God? Well, the key to the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key to the knowledge of God, is that knowledge about how to part the veil after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and enter into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory, or to enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, which this order of the priesthood has the authority to perform that ordinance, and thus a man or woman might, if they continue to knock and receive after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, receive the key of the knowledge of God, or be instructed sufficiently about how to part the veil and ascend into the seventh heaven and come into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. This is the whole purpose of the terrestrial order of the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, or the Church of Christ, which was restored to Joseph Smith in 1829, and we enjoyed as a body of saints from 1829 to 1834, which is when we were demoted from the fullness to the preparatory gospel. Verse 20, therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. Now, the power of godliness being manifest unto men in the flesh is the ordinance of baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if we go to Millennial Star, number 4, August 1843, volumes 3 through 4, page 60, under the heading The Holy Ghost, it says, in the renewal of the covenant with the children of men, there are many subjects of great interest to the saints and of unspeakable value. But the gift of the Holy Ghost stands preeminently distinguished as the greatest gift that man could receive or deity bestow. The possession of this gift, which is the power of godliness, is what constitutes the special difference between the Church of the Living God and the multitude of systems that have originated through the will of man. So, the power of godliness, talked about in D&C 84, verses 20 and 21, is the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it can only be manifest when there is a man upon the earth who's been ordained and sealed to this order of the priesthood, which is what opens a new dispensation and opens the heavens sufficiently that this ordinance might be received, which, as was just stated, is the greatest gift that God can bestow or man can receive. Verse 21. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. Or in other words, when there's not a man upon the earth who's been ordained and sealed to this order of the priesthood, it is not possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as an example of this, although laboring diligently with Christ during his mortal ministry and being ordained to the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood, it wasn't sealed upon the 12 apostles until the day of Pentecost, at which time they also received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Although Nephi has been laboring most of his life, and he's been laboring at least 33 years, he has not yet received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He has not yet received the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood, which takes place in 3 Nephi chapter 11. Verse 20 in 3 Nephi 9. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. So this is man's part of the new and everlasting covenant. This is man's oath to offer up as a sacrifice a broken heart and contrite spirit, which at a bare minimum means that we're willing to place everything upon the altar and that we would withhold nothing. And if there is anything that we would withhold from God, it is the very thing that prevents us from entering into the new and everlasting covenant, making the sacrifice of a broken heart and contrite spirit. And in general, we must place everything upon the altar. But specifically, there are a whole series of individual commandments that we must receive by revelation that pertain specifically to us, which are the specific requirements for us of offering up a broken heart and contrite spirit. And only if we seek after and receive these individual commandments are we able to fully enter into this sacrifice of a broken heart and contrite spirit and thus qualify when the heavens are opened to receive the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost, and thus become Christ's sons and daughters. And thus, if we continue to ask and to knock and to feast upon the words of Christ, which means not only to hear, but also to do, to be instructed sufficiently, that we might receive that instruction about how to part the veil and enter into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. This is God's oath back to us, his part of the new and everlasting covenant. That when the heavens are opened and we have fully entered into this covenant, for only when the heavens are opened can we fully offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit, because until they are, we don't have access to that level of revelation to instruct us sufficiently about how to offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit, that we may fully offer up the sacrifice and live it with integrity. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Now, this statement is often confused, that, well, a man or woman might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and not even know that they had received it. If that's what happened to the Lamanites, but we have to put it into context. For the account of the Lamanites receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and knowing it not, is in Helaman chapter 5, which we went through in depth. And those 300 Lamanites who received it knew full well that fire came down from heaven and encircled them, that they were delivered from the midst of darkness, that angels came down and ministered unto them, that they heard the voice of God the Father, and also that they had such a powerful born-again experience because of their baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that they were then consumed with a desire to go forth and to preach the fullness of the gospel, that all the Lamanites might receive it likewise. And as a result, practically the entire Lamanite nation was converted to the fullness of the gospel, as is recorded at the end of Helaman 5. So they knew it not meant that they had not yet been instructed sufficiently, that they knew what it was called. But it does not mean that they didn't know that they had just had the most profound experience of their entire life. And they were instructed shortly thereafter about what this experience meant and what it was. So it is not possible to have the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, unaware, and not know that you have had the most powerful spiritual experience of your entire life. And most people receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, after they have been instructed sufficiently. But remember that, they had been, as is talked about in Helaman 5, been instructed by Alma and Amulek. So they did have some foundation. They had heard, but they hadn't really understood. Verse 21, behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. For there is no other path that leads to Christ. And this being saved means receiving the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 10. And now behold, it came to pass that all the people of the land did hear these sayings and did witness of it. And after these sayings, there was silence in the land for the space of many hours. For so great was the astonishment of the people that they did cease lamenting and howling for the loss of their kindred, which had been slain. Therefore, there was silence in all the land for the space of many hours. And it came to pass that there came a voice again unto the people. And all the people did hear and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, and who are descendants of Jacob, yea, who are the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and have nourished you. And again, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel who have fallen, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that dwell at Jerusalem, as ye that have fallen, yea, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. O ye house of Israel whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, if ye will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. But if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. And now it came to pass that after the people had heard these words, behold, they began to weep and howl again because of the loss of the kindreds and friends. And so in verse 7, and if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers, which is the gathering of Israel, which happens on condition of entering into the new covenant and offering up a broken heart and contrite spirit, that God's people may again become his people by accepting their God and not rejecting him. Verse 9, and it came to pass that thus did the 3 days pass away. And it was in the morning, and the darkness dispersed from off the face of the land. And the earth did cease to tremble, and the rocks did cease to rend. And the dreadful groanings did cease, and all the tumultuous noises did pass away. And the earth did cleave together again, that it stood, and the mourning, and the weeping, and the wailing of the people who were spared alive did cease. And their mourning was turned into joy, and their lamentations into the praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. And thus far were the scriptures fulfilled, which had been spoken by the prophets. And it was the more righteous part of the people who were saved. And it was they who received the prophets and stoned them not. And it was they who had not shed the blood of the saints who were spared. They who had received the preaching of the preparatory gospel by Nephi and those who had been ordained by him. And they were spared and were not sunk and buried up in the earth. And they were not drowned in the depths of the sea, and they were not burned by fire, neither were they fallen upon and crushed to death. And they were not carried away in the whirlwind, neither were they overpowered by the vapor of smoke and of darkness. But there is a higher requirement for the Latter-day Saints and those of the restoration to be spared the destructions which are coming. For they must not only receive the preparatory gospel, but they also must receive the fullness of the gospel, which Christ has just set forth, and the new and everlasting covenant of a broken heart and contrite spirit, and be earnestly seeking after and hearkening to the voice of the Spirit to receive the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And verse 14, and now whoso readeth, which is primarily, you know, us, the Gentiles. Let him understand. He that hath the scriptures, let him search them, and see and behold if all these deaths and destructions by fire and by smoke and by tempest and by the whirlwinds and by the opening of the earth to receive them, and all the things are not unto the fulfilling of the prophecies of many of the holy prophets. Behold, I say unto you, yea, many have testified of these things at the coming of Christ, and were slain because they testified of these things. And the prophet Zenos did testify of these things, and also Zenoch spake concerning these things, because they testified particularly concerning us who are remnant of their seed. Behold, our father Jacob also testified concerning a remnant of the seed of Joseph. And behold, are not we a remnant of the seed of Joseph? And these things which testify of us, are they not written upon the plates of brass, which our father Lehi brought out of Jerusalem? And it came to pass that in the ending of the 34th year, behold, I was shown to you that the people of Nephi, who were spared, and also those who had been called Lamanites, who had been spared, did have great favor shown unto them, and great blessings poured out upon their heads, insomuch that soon after the ascension of Christ into heaven, he did truly manifest himself unto them, showing his body unto them and ministering unto them. An account of his ministry shall be given hereafter. Therefore, for this time, I make an end of my sayings. And this concludes the doctrinal portion of tonight's Zoomcast. And now we will open it up to questions and to answers.